This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعده السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, to all the sisters and the brothers, let us begin our day with the morning dua, the morning prayer. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم اختم لنا بالحسن الخاتمة. اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. All praise due to Allah رب العالمين for His mercy, for His blessing, for His guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the people who have the right understanding about His deen. The reason we start with thus khutbatul haja, every time when we want to start our class, I always start with khutbatul haja, is to remind us the importance of asking Allah for help, for guidance, for forgiveness. And also we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to make us among the people who are grateful and thankful to Allah Rabbul Alameen for all the bounties, the ni'mah that Allah have given us. We also ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to help us to overcome the weaknesses within ourselves because of the lack of knowledge and understanding about Islam create a lot of confusion among Muslims until today. So we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to guide us to do what that please Him, not what that please us or please our society or the community. To please Allah is more important than pleasing anyone else. When we please Allah, Allah will open the heart of everybody. They will be happy with us, inshallah. But when you displease Allah, we will suffer when we meet Allah Rabbul Alameen. Because anything we do not for the sake of Allah, in the day of judgment, Allah will call us to go to that person that we are doing because of him and call that person to reward us, to give us whatever we want from him. If you want Allah to reward us, you have to do everything to please him. And also we always remind ourselves that whatever we do in our daily life, brother and sister, it must be guided by two principles. Number one, La ilaha illallah. Number two, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah is to remind us that whatever we do is purely for the sake of Allah. Our intention is clear and pure for the sake of Allah. And the way we do the thing, we try to follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ayat that I always quote also in the beginning of my talk is about dying. Yeah? Allah Rabbul Alameen said, Ya ayyuhallazina aman taqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe in Allah, it is our duty who believe in Allah to strengthen our iman to the level of taqwa. When you reach the level of taqwa, meaning you are ready to do whatever Allah wants us to do, and you are not going to please human more than Allah anymore. The fear towards Allah is greater, the love towards Allah is greater, and that's where taqwa come in. Of course, we love things, we love our family, we love our property, we love our garden, we love so many things, but our love towards Allah must be the first. Because Allah is awwalun, the first, the creator, the provider. We should thank Him and love Him more. And then we should love our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was sent by Allah to show us the best way to please Allah. So if you try to do everything based on how you feel is good, it may not be good according to Allah Rabbul Alameen. And that's why Allah put a condition, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, you have to follow my messenger, because I send my messenger as the way for you to come to me. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And Allah said, make sure that none of us who are living today will die until we have submitted, yeah, spiritually, physically to Allah Rabbul Alameen. In one ayah, Allah said, يَوْمًا لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Remember, the day will come, your children or your wealth cannot save you anymore, cannot help you. How much you have, you cannot buy your life anymore. When the angel of death appear, you just have to go. Even all the children surrounding you, all their doctors, their specialists, they can't stop the angel of death to come and take us home. Yeah. So Allah said, يَوْمَ يَا لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Remember, the day will come, nothing can benefit you except those who have prepared their heart to submit to Allah. That means we are ready to go home. Then we have peace, inshallah. Today we are going to continue on page 70. We continue page 70. Evidence for a good sign. In life, there's always some good sign, also bad sign, positive and negative signs. Yeah? Nobody can escape from all these sciences, because Allah created everything and He gives us signs. If you open the Holy Quran, after Suratul Fatiha, is what surah? After Surah Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, the longest surah, the Qaw. Now, if you start to read the first few ayah, then you will see how Allah Rabbul Alameen organized His book as a guidance for mankind. Allah start by saying, Alif Lam Mim Zalikal Kitab La Raiba Fihi Hudal Lil Muttaqin. Anywhere you go, if you open the first ayah of Al-Baqarah, start Alif Lam Mim Zalikal Kitab La Raiba Fihi Hudal Lil Muttaqin. Allah is telling us that this separate letter, Alif Lam Mim, the meaning no one knows except Allah. Nobody have the right to interpret these letters, because Allah did not explain further, neither the Prophet go detail about this ayah, this letter. He just said, Alif Lam Mim Wallahu A'lam. The ending, the Prophet will say, Allah know best. Just leave it like that. Why Allah know best? It's a test from Allah. If He did not explain further than Alif Lam Mim, who give you the knowledge to go further? Zalikal Kitab La Raiba Fihi. Then Allah talk about the book, the Quran. Every single ayah in the Quran, everything that is written in the Quran is from Allah. There is no doubt in it. Now Allah is telling us, how can you strengthen your belief in the book of Allah? You cannot have doubts when you read the Quran. When you read the Quran and you still have doubts, there is something wrong with your heart and your mind. Now in Islam they say, لا دين لمن لا أقل له. People who don't have a sound brain, they don't need a religion. Meaning mad people, crazy people, don't need to do anything. They don't have to pray, they don't have to fast. Nobody can say they are wrong. Crazy people seem to be very healthy people sometimes, because they eat everything that people throw. Thing that you throw, you think is not good. Because we normally, when we want to buy vegetable, we want the clean cut, you know, beautiful looking, smooth, clean cut. That kind of vegetable is not good for your health, because even flies do not, or other insects do not eat, because they are too much chemical. Yeah. But the veggie that got a lot of, yeah, meat eaten here, the leaf is, and so on, that is a good veggie. But we don't like that veggie. So that's why you see the crazy people always eat something that people don't like to eat. People throw, they eat. They become very, their immunity is very strong, because they get all the good food. Yeah, we got all the beautiful looking food, but it's not healthy. Yeah? Too much chemical. Yeah? Anyhow, Allah is telling us this book, what is written, have no doubts in it, telling about the past, the present, and the future. And then Allah talk about the believers. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The believer are the person who believe in the unseen. Now Allah is telling us the sign of the believers. Whoever say, I'm a believer, you must believe in the unseen. You don't see Allah, you believe in Him. You don't see the angel, you believe in the angel. You don't see what is been ordained, the qada and qadar, we believe in qada and qadar. You don't meet any of the prophet, we believe in the prophets. We do not know what is Taurat. We have never seen Taurat, we never seen Injil, but we believe there's a book called Taurat, there's a book called Injil. We never been to Al-Akhirah, but we believe in Al-Akhirah. This is the unseen. This is signs for the believer. Whoever said he's a believer, he must have all these signs. Then the second part, Allah talk about the disbeliever. The disbeliever, they don't believe. You have one who believe, the second one who don't believe. Then after that, Allah talk about the hypocrite. Three groups of people. The hypocrite, deep in their heart, they don't believe, but when they see you, they say, I believe. When they are with you, they pray, they fast. When they are not with you, they are back to their normal life. That means these are people that the Prophet said, the worst people on earth is Zul Wajhain, the people who have two faces. In front of you, they smile at you. Oh, you are good, you are everything. Behind, they gossip, they backbite. That kind of people, you must be very, very careful. And majority of the people today is in the third category. The hypocrites. Yeah. In front, they are so sweet. Behind, they are so bitter. May Allah protect us from having these signs and this character. And may Allah protect us from people who are not sincere to us. Yeah. So because we want to have peace, we don't want to have a lot of problems in life. Yeah. To minimize our problem, you stay away from the third group of people, because the disbeliever is easy to identify. They make it very clear. I don't believe, khalas, clear cut. But the hypocrite, you just do not know who they are sometimes. You thought that they are your friend, but they are your enemy. You thought that you can trust them, they will destroy you. And it's happening in our life every day. Yeah. And this is very scary, yeah, because Allah sometimes use words that is very difficult to understand. Sometimes Allah said, your children, your spouses can be your enemy. Now, how can your spouse, your husband that you love so much, become your enemy? How can your children that you love so much become your enemy? Yes, it can be your enemy. When they choose not to believe what we believe, then we start to have problem. Yeah. In the West sometimes, they have children, but those parents who have property who are rich, the children are expecting that if their parent die, all the property will go to them. But sometimes, very weird, the parent will put a will and give it to the dog or the cat. So those who are going to be the trustee are the cat, caretaker and the dog caretaker. This makes the children very upset. How crazy my parent. You know? And he put a will that all my property is for Mr. Dog. Bulldog pula. What are you going to say? But in the West, they acknowledge that kind of will. For the Muslim, they don't accept. Because that is not correct. You don't will to animals. You only will to human being. The only thing in Islam said, when you talk about wills, wasiat, wasiat is not for the next of kin. Wasiat cannot be for the next of kin. Your son, your daughter, your husband or your wife, you cannot write wasiat for them. Because their right is being secured by Allah. What you can do, you can give hibah as a gift, but not wasiat. That's why when a person dies, two things that you must clear before you talk about inheritance. Their wasiat must be fulfilled and their debts must be paid first. Then only the balance you talk about fara'id. Yeah? Any wasiat for next of kin will be rejected. La wasiat lil waris, because the Prophet said, no wasiat for waris. Now, if you are a Muslim, your children are not yet Muslim, there will be some issues. If you love them, you want to give it to them, no problem. You want a wasiat? Not more than one third, you can. More than one third, cut off. That is the cut off line. Yeah. More than one third is stopped. Yeah. Even they are your children because they choose not to believe. The same goes to when we are parents and our children are Muslim and they become very rich, but we choose not to be a Muslim. When they die, we thought that as a parent we have the right. We don't have right. Both sides, it works for both sides. The Muslim parents' property cannot go to the children who are not Muslim. And the Muslim, the non-Muslim children property cannot go to the Muslim parent. I mean, it's a fair cut to show us that we are not here for worldly matters. We are here for our belief. We believe in Allah. If Allah said no, we said no. But they can give. Anybody who wants to give it to us, we can accept. We cannot fight for it. It's not easy to understand all this kind of thing, but when you have the iman, then you will know why Allah and the Prophet said so. Now we have talked about signs of good ending last week. Today we are going to continue further. Evidences for good sign is not just a point form from 1 to 21, but now we are backing up what we said with the dalil or the evidence from the Quran and the authentic hadith. The following text from the Quran and the authentic hadith provide evidence for the various signs presented above. Yeah? Some texts apply to more than one sign as is indicated in the titles preceding them. Saying the Shahada, the first sign. Mu'az radiallahu anhu reported that Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. said, Man kana akhir kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala jannah. Whose last word, Allah ilaha illallah, will enter Jannah. Good sign. Now when you come to this, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to try our level best. Be very alert. That's why the Prophet said, "Afdal zikr la ilaha." The best zikr is la ilaha illallah. Now this is the zikr that the Prophet taught us. Not shorter than that. You cannot say illallah, illallah, illallah. Just la ilaha illallah. Yeah. In the time of the Prophet, that it happened twice. One, a young Jew in Medina. The earlier one is his own uncle and old man, Abu Talib. Abu Talib is the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved him so much. He protect him with whatever he had. And that's why when Abu Talib was still alive, nobody dared to cause harm to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't like him. The other uncle also don't like him, but nobody dared to touch him because Abu Talib was there to protect him. Abu Talib is the father of who? Ali radiallahu anhu, the fourth caliph. Yeah, the cousin of the Prophet and the son-in-law. Yeah. Now, when Abu Talib was on his dying bed, Prophet Muhammad came and called his uncle. "My uncle, just say la ilaha illallah. Just say that I will bear witness in the day of judgment that you are a Muslim." Then the Prophet can pray for him. Every Muslim can pray for his soul. Until today we can still pray for him. But until the end, he refused. And that's why the Prophet can't even pray for his uncle. Because Allah said no. And then Allah revealed an ayah to the Prophet. "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha." You, Muhammad, cannot give guidance to whoever you like. It is me who give guidance. Now this is also a sign to inform us this religion don't belong to Muhammad. If it belongs to Muhammad, Muhammad can do anything. Muhammad just can confirm, "Yes, my uncle is a Muslim already." Because it's not his, it belongs to Allah. You just try your best to remind your uncle. Now what I'm going to say here is that don't give up. When you have a close friend who is very good to you, your neighbor, your friend, your family member who are not yet Muslim, when they are not well, when they are at ICU, example, you're visiting them, they can still hear you. Never give up on that. Call them to la ilaha illallah. You don't know. That particular time, that moment, suddenly Allah opened up their mind and they accept. They will say, "Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad rasulullah." After an hour, they die. Alhamdulillah. Every Muslim can pray for his soul, free of charge. And every Muslim in this world pray 5 times a day. Normally, a practicing Muslim, million, billion of Muslim is worshipping Allah every single day. Every time when we pray in the tahiyyat, we are praying for the soul of all Muslim. Without we realizing, we are praying for everybody. That is the beauty of this religion. You don't have to pay them any penny. Sometimes the one who is praying for you, they don't also memorize. They don't remember that they're praying for you. In the tahiyyat, you will say, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah his salihin." That is the prayer to every Muslim. Then the Prophet, when he was in Medina, the young Jew, who is a good teenager, who always helped the Prophet when the Prophet was alive. But when he was very ill, Prophet visit him. And Prophet called him to make shahada, to make this kalima, la ilaha illallah. And he recited that. When he recited that, the Prophet was so happy, Prophet made a prayer. Alhamdulillahi allazi anqazahu minan nar. Praise be to Allah who have saved this young boy from hellfire. Then later on he passed away. The Prophet never fight for his burial. His body, leave it to his family, yeah, to arrange it. But the Prophet called the companions, gathered together, and make Salatul Mayat Ghaib. Meaning pray, funeral prayer for the young man or the young boy without the body in front of us. Known as Mayang Mayat Ghaib. Where the body is not in front of us. Now that only applies for people who we are sure no one performed funeral prayer for him or her yet. But if there is a group of Muslims who have performed the prayer, that prayer cannot be performed by anyone else. Only the first group. The rest, you just make dua. You don't have to perform funeral prayer. Yeah? Example, when you are driving and suddenly there was an accident and you give a helping hand while the ambulance is coming, don't give up hope. That guy who are not yet Muslim, there's nothing wrong for you to tell him, my brother, say La ilaha illallah. I do that when I encounter this problem. Yeah, I will hold the brother's head and then I whisper to him. I don't know whether he said, but if I hear something, I will make prayer for him. If I don't hear anything, I can do. We do not know. If Allah's will, the last minute he said, La ilaha illallah, the Prophet said, Dakhla Jannah, is a good sign that he died as a Muslim. That's how easy it is. We have incident, a lot of our brothers whose family are not yet Muslim, their grandma was not well. I remind them, don't give up to your grandma. They visit the grandma, they call the grandma to make shahada. The grandma respond. Few days after that, the grandma passed away. So inform us, we call them here, we gather a group of jama'ah, we perform salat maya ghaib here. It is allowed for us to do that. Yeah? So don't give up hope to anybody. Yeah? You have friends, your loved one, your family member who are not yet Muslim, if there is, don't give up on them. Try your level best. Similarly, the Mu'az also said that the Prophet said, the meaning, no soul dies while testifying that there is no true God except Allah, la ilaha illallah, and that I am Allah's messenger, wa anni rasulullah, with that issuing from a believing heart, but Allah will forgive him. If they recite it, what is in their heart, only Allah knows. Of course, we are not here to pass judgment to anybody, but then Allah Rabbul Alamin will forgive whatever sins that they have committed before them. Yeah. Remember in one of the battle when the Prophet and his soldiers was coming in from Medina to Makkah, Fathul Makkah, the Prophet gave an order, a very important instruction to all the soldiers. Don't start the war. If they start, you have the right to defend yourself. And again, don't kill innocent people. Don't go and look for your enemy in the house. No. Whoever enter their house, they close their door, you have no right, yeah, to chase after them. Whoever enter, yeah, their church example, their house of worship, don't chase them. Don't kill women, children, and elderly people. Is a clear instruction. And whoever makes shahada, you cannot harm them anymore. They become part of you. Then the Prophet heard, you know, from somebody saying that there was the enemy was fighting with the Muslim, then he lost the battle, but before the Muslim struck him, he made shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu Muhammadan. But this, from the Muslim side, he said, you are like a hypocrite. They cut him. And this news came to the Prophet. The Prophet called upon one of his sahaba and asked him, what happened? I heard that you kill, yeah, a person who made shahada. He said, but he made shahada maybe out of fear. You know, that who gives you the right to judge what is in his heart. Why he made the shahada is not you to judge. Out of fear, because of this, because of that, we are not here to judge them. Leave it to Allah. We judge a person according to what they say. That's all. We cannot be judgmental, brothers. That's why when anybody come to Islam and they say because they want to get married, you cannot say you cannot become a Muslim. Because you are not becoming a Muslim for the sake of Allah. Because of that lady, because of that guy. It's okay. Islamically, it's okay. Why I say it's okay is not because I make up this story, I make up this rule, no. That's why the first hadith inside Bukhari, the Prophet said from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Every deeds that we engage in, whether it will be accepted or not accepted by Allah, is based on our intention. And then they continue, the Prophet said, فَمَنْ قَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ مُرَأَةٍ يُنْقِهُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا حَجْرَ إِلَيْهِ. If your migration to Islam because of dunya, worldly thing, you get dunya. Until today, you have people who enter Islam because they want some benefit. They will get. If that you want, you'll get the benefit of this world. And there are people who enter Islam because of marriage. And the Prophet said, you will get married. But if your intention is for Allah, you get more. But if your intention is for the woman, you get the lady. And it happened in the time the Prophet Abu Talha had a girlfriend. And his name is Rumaysa. They have been together for some time. Rumaysa became a Muslim. Abu Talha is not yet a Muslim. Rumaysa, once she became Muslim, no more. Our relationship should stop here because you are a non-believer. I have chosen to be a Muslim. We cannot carry on with this kind of relationship. Abu Talha is a rich man. He said, what do you want, my darling? Okay, he don't use this term, darling. Maybe they say Habibati and so on, the Arabs. Yeah. What do you want? I can give it to you. No, I only want, if you still love me, become a Muslim. That's all she asked. He refused. He was not ready. So Rumaysa migrate to Medina. They are lovers in Mecca. So some companion migrate to Medina. Rumaysa migrate to Medina. But Rumaysa said to him, if you want me to be your wife, you want to get married to me, your entering to Islam will be my dowry, my mahar. Simple as that. No money, nothing. Your Islam be my mahar. Rumaysa left already. Bye-bye. Because Abu Talha still struggling. No, I'm not ready. Okay. You're not ready. Bye-bye. She left. Yeah, when you're in love, they say love is blind sometimes, you know. Now you cannot sleep well, you cannot eat well, you cannot do all these things. Then later on, he migrate to look for his lover. And then he came to the Prophet, he said, I want to be a Muslim. The Prophet make shahada. Then he remember Rumaysa, he said, she said to me, my entering the Islam will act as a dowry for marrying her. The Prophet summoned a companion to look for this late woman, and she came, and the Prophet asked her, did you say this to him? She says, yes. Are you ready? Yes. The Prophet conduct the nikah. And that's why the Prophet said, if you come to Islam because of a woman, you will get that woman. But later on, Abu Talha become one of the companion of the Prophet. He learned and he become a good sahaba. The intention in the beginning is not because of Allah. Still, Islam accept. You can accept, but it can develop. Intention can develop. Later on, you educate him, teach him, and now his intention changed. From just because of this woman, he become a practicing Muslim, and he loved the Prophet ﷺ, and he become the companions of the Prophet. Yeah. We have this issue before many, many years, because we have been doing all this shahada from the late 70s until today. I would say that we have more than 5,000 people have converted to Islam through our little effort here and there, locally and also overseas. Sometimes overseas, people will enter Islam in groups, 20 of them will make shahada in one event. When we were in Philippines before, we do that, alhamdulillah. We have even sisters who follow us for a tour, who are not a Muslim Malaysian, follow us for a tour, educational tour to Australia. And when she was in Australia, she said, "I want to be a Muslim." And we made the shahada in one of the mosques in Australia. Very easy, it's not difficult. That means if you want to organize anything, if you have a not yet Muslim friend want to follow, let them follow. Or if it's the Muslim tour, they also can follow. There's nothing wrong. Oh, Muslim tour only for Muslim. No. Muslim tour is for everybody. Halal food for everybody to eat. True or not? Can you say the halal food only for Muslim? Because you're not Muslim, you better don't go to a halal restaurant. You go to a non-halal restaurant. You cannot say that. Halal is for everybody. You know? Jabir reported that after passing of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Omar observed sign of sickness on Talha bin Ubaidillah. He asked him, "What is wrong with you, O Abu Muhammad?" The companion loved to call each other with kunya. Now, Talha bin Ubaidullah is the name, but now Omar is asking him and call him with his kunya, O Abu Muhammad. Normally, our Prophet also have his kunya, Abu Qasim. One of the sons of the Prophet is Qasim. Some people will call him the father of Qasim. People normally will call me, the Arab like to call me Abu Imtiaz. My eldest son is Imtiaz, so they call me the father of Imtiaz. For those who don't have father anymore, then they'll call the mother's name. That's why sometimes Umm Ayman. You see, among the Arab, they call the Sahaba Umm Ayman and so on. So they like you to link with your parent, so that you will never forget who is your parent. Our community, we are not so used to this. Bilal Philip, one of our scholars, my colleague. His name is what? People call him Abu Amina. Bilal Philip. Abu Amina, the elder daughter is Amina. So they call Abu Amina. "What is wrong with you, O Abu Muhammad? You appear deceptive and covered with dust just seen the passing of Allah's Messenger. It is because of the appointment of your cousin Abu Bakr as Khalifa." He replied, "No, may Allah forbid." And he praised Abu Bakr. Then he explained, "It's just that I heard from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a hadith, a saying, and nothing stopped me from asking him about it except hesitation until he passed away. This is the cause of my sadness. I heard him say, 'Inni la a'lam kalimatullah yaquluha abdun inda mautihi.'" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did mention, "Very, I know a statement that no person says at the time of his death, but his complexion shines by it. Allah remove his distress. It provides his soul with security, and it departs from his body as it departs from his body. And it will be a light in his record on the day of resurrection." Omar said, "I know what it is." Talha asked, "Praise be Allah, what is it?" He replied, "Do you know a statement greater than that, that with which he prompted his uncle at his death, 'La ilaha illallah'?" Talha said, "You spoke the truth, by Allah, this is it." The Prophet have informed the companions how powerful this kalimah, "La ilaha illallah", that can save a person from hellfire. But now you have people who know how to say La ilaha illallah, even though not yet Muslim. If you call them to make shahada, they can. In Penang, the trash or puller, they speak many languages. They never go to any language class. But because they are customer, Japanese, Korean, yeah, Arab, you go to Petaling Street today. You know it's Petaling Street? Where they have all the night market there. You'll be surprised. No? Suddenly, most of the people who are selling goods speak Arab. MashaAllah, inshaAllah, Kamsin, Ashara, Ghalin, Rakis. We have been attending Arabic class, we don't even speak. These businessmen, they pick up language very fast. Because the aircon, oh, this is too expensive. What expensive? Oh, Ghalin, Ghalin. Now they memorize Ghalin, Ghalin, Ghalin. And now they say, they learn, what is cheap? Rakis, Rakis. Okay, Rakis, Rakis. After a few days, Ghalin, Rakis, Ragin, Rakis. They speak Arab now. You'll be surprised. I have a lot of friends. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu Muhammad Rasulullah. No problem. One of my cousin brother, he is very good in teaching Jawi. Jawi. He's a Jawi teacher. Until today, he's not yet a Muslim. He just sent one of his old friend. He said, when you come to Kuala Lumpur, look for my cousin brother. And that guy just visited me 2 days ago. He said, do you remember so-so-so? I said, yeah, this is my cousin. I'm the student. I'm a student from Terengganu. Yeah. He can say La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah. But we do not know whether he can say that before he died. If you just say it out of just a language, it carries no weight. You must say it because you believe in it. Then it helps you. Abu Jahal, Abu Lahab is Arab. This is Arabic word. It's not difficult for them to say. But if you just say it because you are Arab, no meaning, no value. But when you say because you believe, that's where the value come in. Yeah? Sweat on the forehead, another sign of a good ending. On visiting a sick man in Khorasan, Murayda bin Al-Qasib found him at the verge of death and noticed his forehead covered with sweat. He said, Allahu Akbar. Why? I heard Allah's messenger say, a believer dies with a perspiring forehead is a sign of a good death. Yeah. All these are good signs. Yeah. But of course, he must be a believer first. If he is not a believer, he can have the whole head sweat, you know, but have no value. Yeah. He must be a believer first. After you become a believer, and then you end with these sciences, is a good ending. Yeah? Dying on Friday, yes. The Prophet ﷺ also said, "Ma min Muslim yamut yawmul Jum'ah aw laylatul Jum'ah illa waqahu Allahu fitna al-kubr." Any Muslim, male or female, who die on the day or night of Jum'ah is protected by Allah from tribulation of the grave. We know that when we die, the first test that Allah is going to test all of us is in the grave. Because when you die, the Prophet in other hadith said, when the angel of death come, the other angel will come too. If you are a good Muslim, a practicing Muslim, you have a good ending, the angel of mercy will also come and will give you glad tidings. Don't worry. Don't be sad. Yeah? In the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُ رَبُّنُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. What do the angels say to Allah? تَقَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَعَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. They will send glad tidings to this person. Be happy. Jannah, paradise, is ready for you. Don't worry. Don't be sad. angel of mercy will whisper to you and you are ready. Then when the soul is pulled out, it is part of the sunnatullah, this soul must be presented back to Almighty Allah, the owner of the souls. So the angel of death have to pull it out and go upward and present to Allah. And he will pass through the other galaxy where all the other angels is around. They will praise this soul all the way. Allahu Akbar. And when the soul is being presented to Allah, Allah was so happy and called the angel there, send his soul back to the body. Then when we are carrying the body on to the grave, the soul will come. And then when we bury them, the soul will be put back in the body. Then question and answer start. Munkar and Nakir is going to examine us. He's not going to ask us, how many children you have? How many grandchildren you left behind? How much your property, you know? How many shares you have, you know? And how is your account? What degree do you have? He's not going to ask any question about dunya. He just asks you very basic question. This is the prayer we always ask Allah. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin nabiyya. He asks you, who is your Lord? Ma rabbuka. We have no problem because you have been worshipping Allah. Allah rabbi. He will ask you, wa ma deenuka. What is your religion? Al islamu deeni. Because you have been a Muslim, you have been following Islam. Wa man nabiyuka. Who is your prophet? We will say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalas. Then you save yourself from the tribulation of the grave, azab al-qubur. Yeah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us. Yeah. Those who die on Friday, why? Because normally people are more prepared for Friday prayer. You know, we love Friday because this is our happy day. For the poor, Friday is like an eight day for them. That's why everybody who go for Friday prayer, the Prophet said, you must take a bath and wear new clothes. Not necessary to buy new clothes every Friday. Yeah. Then you don't have enough cupboard, yeah, to keep your garment anymore. If every Friday you buy new clothes, meaning you change, yeah, you're wearing any other garment, come to Friday, you change, yeah, to the, yeah, the shirt, yeah, that you have been hanging, you have not been using, you just change your attire, inshallah. Yeah. Those who die as shahid on the battlefield. Now this one is talking about those who were killed in the battlefield, not those who were injured and then they die later on. While you are fighting for the sake of Allah, and you were killed in the battlefield. Allah said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us, yeah, do not think of those who are killed in Allah's way as dead. No, they are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive with their Lord and are sustained by Him. That Allah still provide for them with all the delights that Allah has prepared for them. They rejoice in what Allah has granted them of His favor, and they rejoice for the sake of those who have not yet joined them, whom they left behind, not yet, yeah, shaheed. That on them no fear will come, nor will they grieve. Allah Rabbul Alamin is telling, Allah khawfun alayhim walahum yahzanun. They have no fear, neither they grieve. They rejoice in Allah's blessing and favors, and that Allah does not waste the rewards of the believer. Don't underestimate Allah's reward. Allah's reward is so great that you cannot imagine. The only thing that Allah wants us to do, make sure that you choose the best way to die. A lot of people are dying for the sake of dunya. They work so hard for dunya, dunya, dunya. But we are not preparing ourselves for the everlasting life, al-akhirah. Al-akhirah khairu min al-ula. The ending, the next life is always better than the present life. When you go there, brother and sister, if you are going to paradise, you'll be there forever. Khalas. No pain, no headache, no cough, nothing. No pain, no tooth pain, nothing. Because there's no clinic and hospital there. You just enjoy life. Can you imagine what Allah prepared for you? Just some sacrifice here for the sake of Allah. Whatever Allah gives you is an amanah, give back to Allah. In return, Allah gives you Jannah. What is more than Jannah? But we have problem. Why? Because we don't see Jannah yet. So our iman towards Jannah is weak. If somebody tell you, go and pick up that share. Tomorrow is going to go up. How much is the share here now? Is 7 ringgit. Tomorrow is going up 17 ringgit. This is been guaranteed by the government. How do you feel? Will you pick up that share? What do you think, sister? Anybody in the share market here? If somebody guarantee you, the authority, the highest authority, this share is going to go up in one day. They are going to bring up this share. What do you think? Do you go and buy? Do you buy? I said, you will buy. You can even sell your house. You can mortgage your house. I want this share. No problem. This is my property. I mortgage to the bank. I take the loan. Because you are sure to get the profit. In just one day investment, you become a millionaire. Because you were guaranteed by somebody who you trust, who have authority. This Allah guarantee you, if you spend everything in the cause of Allah, you die for His sake, I am going to reward you with Jannah. Do we believe in that? You should believe, but our iman is still very weak. I know, but I still want all these things. I love this, yes. You can love what you want to love, but for Allah, you must always have faith that when you invest for Allah, you will never regret. The other hadith from Miqdam bin al-Yaqrib, Ubada bin al-Samit, and Qais al-Juthaymin, this is a group of Sahaba. They said that the Prophet have said, a shahid is awarded 7 favor by Allah. He is forgiven with the first gush of blood, shown his position in Jannah. That means a shahid, when he died, Allah opened the gate of paradise, he can see paradise. He's not there yet, but he knows where is he heading. Protected from the torment of the grave, Azab al-Kubur. Saved from the great fear on judgment day. At the day of judgment, he has no fear. Because Allah have given him that kind of security, peace. Now he will be adorned with the adornment of iman, and then Allah subhanahu will give him a special kind of garment in the day of judgment. Married to Khur'ain, fair woman of Jannah. How about the woman? Do the woman also have Khur'ain? Yes. Allah give partner. Lahum azwajan. Allah used the word partners. Men will pair with a woman. Woman will pair with a man. If you want the same man, Allah, that's why the same husband and wife must work together, pray together, give zakat together, fast together, hajj together, umrah together. You die, inshallah, you meet up with the same darling together. But if you say enough now, I've suffered with him for so long, I just tolerate, for the sake of the children, for the sake of the community, you know, I just tolerate. If I die, if Allah asks me, you want back your husband? No, enough. I want a new one. Allah will replace you with a better one. That's why the Prophet said, when a person die, make prayer for him or her. And one of the prayer, the Prophet said, Allahumma abdilha or abdilhu daran khair min darihi or dariha, wa ahlan khair min ahlihi wa ahliha, wa zawjan khair min zawjihi wa zawjaha. Oh Allah, replace him with a better life than the life he have or she have in this world. The better family than the family he have. The better partner than the partner that he or she have. Why the Prophet taught us this prayer? Why did the Prophet taught us this prayer? Why? All of you know it. Sometimes we just, we are not happy with our married life. Are we all very happy with our married life sometimes? But what can I do? We are married already. Yeah. I've spent how much? 40,000-50,000 for the walima already. You're patient, Allah reward you. How did Allah reward you? In the day of judgment, Allah, if you are going to paradise, Allah is going to ask you, do you want the same partner? If you say yes, Allah will give you back. But you must remember the difference between your loved one here and over there. Here, the partner have temper, you know, get angry sometimes, got sick sometimes, make life difficult for us, stubborn sometimes. But over there, this attitude is no more than this character gone. You know? And every day you look at him, he's always younger and younger. He become more handsome and more handsome. The same go to you, you become more beautiful and more beautiful, more delighted, your face shine. People just love to look at each other. People of paradise love to see each other. Here after some time, we get bored already. Yeah. We don't even want to know who is at home anymore. You know. But Allah is fair. He will pair you with whomever you please. If you don't have a husband, he prepare one for you. Among the angels, Hur'ain. And allow the intercede for 70 of his relative. Allahu Akbar. If any of our children die in the battlefield fighting for Allah's cause, can you imagine, brothers and sisters? Allah give him 70 passes, 70 tickets. He go to paradise and he can choose 70 among his family. And that's why those who are having good relatives who are very committed to Islam, get close to them. Don't hate them. Don't get angry with them. Get close to them. Anything you can support, support them. Maybe they remember, oh, my auntie, he's a good auntie. Now he was killed in the battlefield. Allah will give him 70 tickets. Go and choose among your relative and bring them to paradise. Then they remember their good auntie. This auntie one, auntie two, maklong, makna, the tengah one. You know. Alhamdulillah. The uncle, the brother, that's why sibling must work, help each other, love each other, because if Allah will permit one of them to die as shaheed, can you imagine when they know this is my brother, my sister, my uncle? They are going to call all of us. They want all of us to be together in paradise. Because paradise is huge, you know. If you are there alone, you'll be very lonely. You need to have a lot of, it's like all of us here who know each other for the sake of Allah. You know, we are close for the sake of, we seek knowledge for the sake of Allah. We improve our iman for the sake of Allah. We pray for the sake of Allah. We fast together. We go to Umrah or Hajj together. Can you imagine when we die? We are going to bear witness among ourselves. Oh, this is my jama'ah. This is my friend, oh Allah. I cannot just go to paradise and leave her here. And then Allah will say, go and intercede. Go. And that is the beauty of jama'ah. Yeah? All these are good sign. Living in jama'ah is always a good sign. Yeah? One of the Prophet's companion reported that a man asked the Messenger of Allah, why is it that all of the believers are tried in their grave except Shaheed? The Prophet ﷺ said, the flashing of sword over his head was the sufficient trial for him. Because when you are engaged in a battlefield, it's not easy to face your enemy. It's not easy, yeah, to be hurt. I mean, normally if you see somebody is holding some weapon coming after you, what will you do? You run away? You scream? You are scared to die. But now you are facing, yeah, all this enemy and you do not run away and you keep on marching forward. That is the trial that they have gone through. It's worse than the trial in the grave. Yeah? Grave, you don't have enemy, only two angels will come and ask you. The Munkar and Nakir, that's all. If your answer is correct, then immediately the Prophet ﷺ said, a shadow will appear, an image will appear. Handsome looking guy, or a woman, if you are a she, a lady, beautiful clothes, and smell good. They will appear and then you will ask, who are you? They will say, I am you. You have been good. You have been righteous. You have been very kind and loving. Very faithful. This is you. Now the image will present your good, your goodness, your kindness. But if you are a bad guy, then another image will appear. Ugly looking, dirty, smelly. And we say, who are you? I am you. Because you don't care about halal haram. You do a lot of haram thing when you are alive. Yeah. You cause a lot of unrest to a lot of people. Every day you do a lot of things that displease Allah. And this is how you are today. There is in the grave. Yeah? So the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish the people who die as shaheed because they have faced the worst when they were in this life. It is not to be noted that any Muslim who sincerely wishes for shaheed will be granted, even if he does not die in the battlefield. Abu Hurairah and Omar reported that Allah's Messenger said, Man sa'allallah shahada, whoever sincerely asks Allah for shaheed, Allah will grant him the level of shaheed even if he dies in the bed. Because shaheed have many, many signs. Pregnant woman who die through pregnancy or after giving birth also is a sign of shaheed. There are many signs. So it's up to us. We can keep on asking and work towards it. A lot of people only ask, but they do not work towards it. You must work towards it, inshallah. Last one that I'd like to share today is about a virus plague. Hafsa bin Sirin reported that Malik bin Anas asked her, how did Yahya bin Umrah die? She replied, from plague. He said, Allah's Messenger said, dying from plague or ta'un is a shahada for every Muslim. You know, waba, cholera, epidemic, malaria, ta'un, these are all the viruses that if you are caught in that environment and you die because of that, of course you have iman, this is a sign of a good ending. Yeah, it's a good ending. Yeah.
It's not easy to go through this. You have to go through a lot of pain, suffering. And because of your patience, your trust in Allah, Allah reward you and consider there is a shahid asghar, good ending. Shahid asghar is a shahid that you must treat the dead body like normal. Wash them, kafan them, and then pray for them. Shahid who died in the battlefield, you don't have to wash. You don't have to even change the clothing. You bury them with the same clothes that they die in the battlefield. Inshallah, now we are going for the Q&A. Faddan. Yeah, cancer, paru-paru, tuberculosis, TB, all also is a sign of a good death. But you must remember, you must have iman first. Yeah, you must have the belief first. Yeah. Believers also will be tested. Yeah. That's why the Prophet loved us to die when we are go through some process of illness, so that we are more prepared. The sudden death is very risky because we do not know. Yeah. It's just an accident. It's not easy. That's why before you drive the car, the Prophet calls us to recite a dua. Subhanallazi saqqar lana haza wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Why? To remember Allah. You are not going to hit anybody, but somebody can hit you. Because you have made dua, inshallah, before anything, Allah will make it easy for you to say, La ilaha illallah. That's why we always alert all our good brothers, sisters, and also children, don't get addicted and get hooked with music. You know, with all the earphone, music, and then enter in the car, music again. We are worried that you are so engaged with all this, suddenly somebody hit you and you are responding to the music. You die with music. It's not a good ending. Naam. Next question. Any other question from the sisters? You know, a lot of accidents happen, old age, always in the toilet. And that's why when you want to enter the toilet, the Prophet called us to make a dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-qubsi wal qaba'is. When you do everything, you remember Allah. You fall, you are gone, inshallah. May Allah bless us. It's important to be connected to Allah. That's why the daily zikr is very important. The daily zikr is to help us to be connected to Allah, Rabbul Alamin. A lot of people underestimate this short zikr. Dua is very, very important. Like Allah said, أَلَّذِينَ يَزْقُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. The faithful believer always train themselves to believe in Allah and to remember Allah while standing, while sitting down, while lying down. They never forget Allah. Just try all our best to memorize all the dua. So that Allah will make it easy for all of us. Because we do not know when we are going back. That's why before you sleep, at least you say, Bismikallahumma amutu wa ahya. And they make shahada and then sleep. There are many dua, ayatul kursi, al-fatiha, and then the qul'aun falak, qul'aun qul'hullah, qul'aun falak, qul'aun zbinna, you can recite. But the minimum, you say, Bismikallahumma amutu wa ahya. That you are going to sleep and die with the name of Allah. This is very important. Naam. Question again? No question today, mashallah. Any question from the brother's side? When Ramadan, yes, Faddal. Now mine. Can you pass the mic? Question can come from any topic, inshallah.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Sheikh, I want to know what's the meaning of Sayyidina? It's from
what is the meaning of
Sayyidina? It's like salawat, because we know that some of us, when they say salawat, they will say it's with
Sayyidina.
Because I heard it before, but belum paham lagi 100%.
Okay.
Because they said that it showed to
respect.
Respect and our love to
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And then some of them also said that we can say it with Sayyidina di luar solat.
Solat, di luar solat.
But last week, I heard it, one of the imam in the masjid, they say the Sayyidina in solat.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Majority of us, majority of the Muslim, will add the word Sayyidina when they perform salawat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim. A lot of people use this kalimah when they perform salawat. We know that all of us love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, because you cannot be a Muslim without loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we all love the Prophet. But when you talk about loving the Prophet said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى حواه تبعا لما جئت به. This hadith, the Prophet is telling us that none of you can be a true believer until he command, control his desire, hawa, nafsu, to follow what I want them to do. When you open the book of hadith, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad, all the 6 popular books of hadith, known to the Muslim world, wherever you are, you have one part called salawat. There will be a topic on the prayer, salawat. The Prophet taught us to recite salawat in many ways. Not only one or two, many, many ways of salawat. But if you look back to all these hadiths, with an open heart, with sincerity, with an open mind, you will be surprised that you never come across that the way the Prophet have taught the companion to recite salawat, none of the salawat have this letter Sayyidina. None. And that's why none of the companion at this when they are performing salawat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some opinions said in the prayer you can, outside the prayer you can. It's just an opinion. But I'm just quoting what the Prophet said, because when Allah revealed the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. In the Quran, Allah and the angel perform salawat upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you who believe, perform salawat on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the best form. Now when this ayah was revealed, the companion do not know how to perform salawat. So they asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kayfa nusalli alayka ya Rasulullah? Teach us." Then the Prophet said, "Qul, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidul Majid." And then other, but none have this word added. Even our intention is good. The companion loved the Prophet more than all of us. Neither they add this. when they are doing salawat. So we have good intention, but I think the best thing is to follow the way the Prophet have taught us. When you allow something to be added, you know what is going to happen. Now people are not saying Sayyidina, wa Sayyidina, wa Mawlana, wa Habibina, wa Shafi'ina. You have so many to add. You say, is there, but it's okay, because this is a word of praises. If something is so good, the Prophet will allow. The companion will do first. If you open the book of Imam Shafi'i, majority of us, Nusantara al-Shafi'i, his followers, and you look in his book, when come to Salawat, he don't even have the Sayyidina. This is what later on people say, nothing wrong. This is what the people say. But I would always like to follow what the Prophet want us to do. I feel it's sufficient enough. Yeah, do the way the Prophet want us to do, not the way we want to do. You see what happened in certain country today, because they love the Prophet so much. Now they have a birthday cake for his birthday. They are celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad with a birthday cake. Are they having good intention? Yes. They don't have bad intention. They love the Prophet so much. That's why the Prophet said, if you love me, follow me. Don't do what you like to do. Just follow me. So you don't have this word in the hadith. Neither you have the word Habibina, Shafi'ina. But in talking it's different. But you want to say it is a sunnah, and then you have a problem. When a sunnah means it must be from the Prophet. All companion was doing this and the Prophet was silent, never said no. Then it's okay. Like people were saying about bid'ah. You know what the word bid'ah? The Prophet said, "Kullu bid'atin dalala." Then we said, not kullu means everything. There is something that is exceptional. Yeah. We also agree. We have no problem. In which area that is exceptional, that you don't have to clearly follow, that you can do all the innovation. The Prophet gave us rooms. He said, when come to dunya matter, urusan duniawi, antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. You know better about your world. I don't want to interfere. If not, they say innovation of benda baru, kan? Benda baru, semua baru. Ini baru, ini lagi baru, kan? Kereta baru, semua baru. But this is urusan dunia. Nabi kata, you know about your dunia more than me. I don't want to interfere. But about akhirat, religious matter, no one know better than Prophet Muhammad SAW. So I would say that, according to the hadith, this word do not exist. And if a person asks you, which one do you want to follow? If you ask me, I say, I would like to follow what the Prophet want me to do. But I don't have to entertain the but. I just want to be humble, just follow. Because religion is barang sudah siap, ready made. Yeah, pakai saja. Because when you make changes here and there are a lot of new things is going to come in. Yeah. You are clear about that now, sis? Yeah. The meaning is good. When we call Abu Bakar, how do we address Abu Bakar? Bagaimana kita panggil Abu Bakar? Sayyidina Abu Bakar. Betul tak? Normally. Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Osman, Sayyidina Ali. We use that word in our calling. Yeah? When we talk about this Khalifa, great people, we use the word Sayyidina. Prophet Muhammad SAW, when people want to praise him, you know what he said? Ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. Abdullah wa Rasulah. A title Allah gave Prophet Muhammad is above every one of us that we cannot share. Is Muhammad Rasulullah is the highest title, Rasulullah. By putting Sayyidina, you are putting the Prophet in the same level with the Khalifa. You are downgraded him, if you really understand. He have a better status, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. Normally it's like, you know, if you are Datuk, suddenly you have been upgraded to Tan Sri. Do you highlight the Datuk again? No more. You are in a higher level, Tan Sri. You don't have the Tan Sri Datuk? Too long. Now you are given, you upgrade to Tun. Do you say Tan Sri Tun? No. Tun, kalas. The highest, yeah, that Allah have granted Prophet Muhammad is Rasulullah. Memang kita panggil Sayyidina Abu Bakar. In Malaysia, you have a lot of Said also. Yeah? Keturunan Said. Kan? Said means what? Said means what? Sometimes we call the Said Tuan Said. Kan? Said is Arabic, Tuan is Melayu. So you say Tuan Said means Kuan Tuan. Naam. Any last question? Yes. There are two more. Wait. Back to... Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Is there such thing as good bidah? Anything to dunya is good. Yeah, like this one is good because it helps us to reach out further to other people. The mic, handphone is good. It helps us communicate, stay in contact with each other. Car is good. It can bring us to another point to point. It's faster. This is dunya thing bida'ah. You can say good bida'ah. No problem. No problem at all. But when come to akhirat, then you better don't involve in all this innovation because it's complete, perfect already over there. That's why the Prophet gives us a good way out. Antum a'lamu bi umri dunyakum. He gives us a blanket cover. That's it. Dunya, anything you can do. But also you must be very careful. You see, China come up with a lot of product. They are so innovative that they change rice into plastic. They make rice from plastic. Is that good? That is bad already. That kind of innovation is very destructive. Lying, cheating. Yeah. They produce rice from plastic. We thought that is real rice, so we keep on boiling and boiling and eating and eating. We are eating plastic. Can you imagine what kind of innovation is that? It's killing the people. That is bad one. Now, Fadal. Can a Muslim man marry a non-believer, a not yet Muslim? Yeah. Islamically, if you go back to the Quran, Allah said, married the believer man marrying a believing woman, and vice versa. Yeah. And the non-believer people were married among themselves. So the Prophet and Allah forbid a man to marry a non-believer. But there is a clause in the Quran that a Muslim man can marry the woman from the Ahli Kitab, the people of the books. Meaning, you can marry a Yahud or Nasara. Those who believe in Moses, those who believe in Jesus, you can marry with them. The general ayah. Yeah? The same Allah said, the slaughtering of the people of the book is halal for the Muslim. And our food also is halal for them. In the Quran exists. But let us be very careful about what Allah said. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also remind us that all prophet was sent to their race, to their tribe, to their qawm. I was sent for all mankind. In the Quran, when Allah talked about Musa, Allah always said, "Wa iz qala Musa liqawmihi." Allah talked about Isa, Jesus. "Wa iz qala Isa ibn Maryam li bani Israel." Always when Jesus was related with the Bani Israel. Even in the Bible is quoted, "We are not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel." Meaning we are not sent for the Gentiles or for the Samaritans, the non-Jew. But Prophet Muhammad, Allah said, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin," as a mercy to the world, to everybody. So because of that, the Ahli Kitab that Allah allowed the Muslim men to marry should be from the Bani Israel. Not just any Ahli Kitab. Because Jesus was sent to Bani Israel. Moses was sent to Bani Israel. So if they are from the Bani Israel, then we can. But if you want to generalize, as long as they are the people of the book, they are Nasara or Yahud. Nobody, Yahud you cannot be. Nobody can enter Yahud. Yahud must be. It's only exclusive from the Bani Israel. Nasara, so-called Christian, if you are going to open it up in that way, can you imagine that that means any Christian? Malay Christian, Chinese Christian, India Christian, any Christian. And that's why we must be very careful. When Allah says something, don't use your own idea to interpret the word of Allah. It must be shown by the Prophet ﷺ, because this ayah was revealed in the time of the Prophet. And in the time of the Prophet, you have all these people around already. As long as they are Bani Israel, fair enough. Of course, there's always some argument in this area. But at the end of the day, if you look at the ayah in the Quran, it was very beautiful. Even these people is more attractive to you. But marrying even the slave of a believer is better than just anyone. As long as they believe, it's always better. The complication, the problem will start not today. One day when we start to change and we have children, that is when the problem starts. A lot of people, they're just out of love. I don't care. The power of love, cross all borders. After some time, they cry. So Islam is here to prevent better than cure. Prevention is better than cure. The ayah is very clear. Either you want to accept or not, but don't interpret the ayah according to our liking. So we will say that we still honor the right of the people of the book, as long they are from Bani Israel. Malaysia, alhamdulillah, we don't accept that. Other country, I don't know. Malaysia do not allow any Muslim man or woman to marry except another Muslim. Either they will come to Islam, become a Muslim first, then they get married. May Allah protect us and our children and from all this trial, because prevention is better than cure. So may Allah accept our prayer, accept our fast, strengthen our iman, increase our patience, and don't forget to pray for all the Muslims wherever they are, and don't forget to... Yes, sis? Oh, he's not here, yeah? The 10th of the last Ramadan is coming in. So, normally Aisha radiallahu anha said the Prophet will always remind her to say, Allahumma inna ka'afun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Recite a lot. Yeah. Fa'fu anna also can, fa'fu anni also can. Allahumma inna ka'afun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Yeah. We always say, oh Allah, you love to forgive, so forgive us. Yeah? You are the forgiver, you love to forgive us. We keep on asking Allah for forgiveness. Yeah? Not only to you, ask Allah to forgive everybody. Last night, I quote one saying the Prophet said, a person who forgive, yeah, you don't lose anything. Allah will add honor to a person who like to forgive. Sometimes people who like to forgive, oh, I'm showing my weakness. Why must I forgive? No. But if you keep on forgiving people, you're not showing your weaknesses. Allah will add honor to you. Yeah? But you don't have to go and tell everybody, I forgive you already, I forgive you. No, no, no. You pray, you know, Ya Allah, forgive all of them, khalas. Yeah? You don't have to SMS to everybody. Don't do that. No. From your heart, it's important. May Allah bless all of us, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته